This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Yes, yes. So glad to have you back with us again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science. Nanotechnology, open innovation. Today, our guest is going to be Romelia Flores. She's one of IBM's top 500 technical executives, earning the title of IBM's Distinguished Engineer and IBM Master Inventor. She's going to talk about the cloud and give us an update on Watson and what she's going to be presenting at the IEEE MetroCon conference going on the 26th of October. You can learn more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link. And we'll visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our Fountain of Useless Information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason, as people say, one of our favorite parts of the show. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're going to go to the telephones and talk to Romelia Flores. She's one of IBM's top 500 technical executives. She's earned the title of IBM's Distinguished Engineer and IBM Master Inventor. She's going to be presenting at the MetroCon conference that we're giving all our press coverage to right now. We're going to go on the 26th of October. If you want to know more about that, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. And that's to the MetroCon conference. It'll tell you all about it. In the meantime, welcome to the program, Romelia.
Thank you, Colonel. I'm happy to be here today and talk a little bit about what we'll be doing at the IEEE MetroCon.
Yeah, give us a preview. What are you going to be doing?
So I know part of what we do at the IEEE MetroCon conference is we certainly examine a lot of the work that's being done by a lot of our young students and researchers that are out in the public forum, and provide them guidance, advice, and expose them to as much technologies as we can. So specifically, I'll be there to give a presentation on engineering through discovery. Is what I entitled my presentation, which is the opposite of the conference name, which is discovery through engineering. And part of why I went the opposite approach was I do believe strongly that in order to, you know, engineer effectively, you have to get your hands on and discover, you know, what the technology really does for you. And that's the thrust of the presentation that I'll be giving as a keynote at the IEEE MetroCon.
And you're going to be talking a lot about the cloud, I understand, which is a specialty of yours at IBM. Is that right?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you look at technology, I've been a technologist for the IBM Corporation for over 30 years now, and I've seen a lot of evolution in terms of, you know, technology. You know, when I started my career way back when, you know, we were emphasizing a lot of, you know, mainframe computers, assembler programming, and we've evolved to an era of, you know, internet and cloud platforms. These are, you know, capabilities which enable us to place data out in the cloud, place applications and make them available in the cloud, and certainly, you know, it makes life easier for all of us. We're able to just reach out and touch and gain access to whatever we need from a technology point of view, and that makes it a very intriguing world that we're living in to keep up with the amount of data that's being placed out there.
I have friends who work at IBM, and they kind of briefed me on this, you know, several years ago about the cloud and how it was going to be very important and one thing or another. And immediately there were all these fears that the stuff that gets put in the cloud wouldn't be secure. It'd be too easy to break into it and to get delicate information, but I guess you all have been able to manage that pretty good.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think there was always that fear of the whole, you know, internet platform and you know, putting credit card information and how secure is it going to be. And I think nowadays, you know, a lot of us don't bat an eye at purchasing things off of the internet. And then the cloud is exactly the same way. It's about putting data out there and writing applications that leverage that content and that information. And certainly, you know, IBM and a lot of other companies have put into place a lot of, you know, encryption technology and different ways of securing the information that we make available in the cloud. And it's just made it a very compelling, you know, platform to be able to continuously develop new and new applications and to make technology available through that cloud.
Well, I think when something happens like what happened with Target a few years ago, it really spooked a lot of people. And I understand that the head of Target was summarily dismissed because he wasn't prepared for the security that had to be in place. So IBM is taking a lot of precautions to be sure that the cloud is quite secure.
Yeah, it's always important to be very, you know, pragmatic about, you know, how you're going to govern the processes that you put in place, how you're going to govern the data and the use of that data within your own organization. So it's critical to, you know, have that keen eye for looking out and making sure you're taking care and being responsible with the information that you're putting out in the cloud.
Now, you're going to discuss the history of IBM's Watson cognitive technology, along with today's IBM quantum experience too, and I understand that you're quite the expert in Watson. Give us a preview of some of the things you're going to be talking about.
I believe the Watson cognitive technology is one of the most compelling advancements that we've had in technology. We debuted our Watson computer in February, our Valentine's Day, 2011. And it was on national television. So it was history in the making, watching, you know, Jeopardy champions playing against this Watson computer. And it was really, you know, just an amazing experience. I was at the Magnolia Theater in Dallas with a lot of clients, and we were watching, you know, the game as it was, you know, taking place live on national television. And it was just, you know, to see a computer be able to interpret the, you know, all of the idiosyncrasies of language, all of the, you know, puns and the innovation in language, and, you know, effectively be able to compete with some of these major Jeopardy champions. I'm sure you've seen the game of Jeopardy and, you know, can, you know, attest to the fact that, you know, some of these Jeopardy champions are really excellent. They're like walking encyclopedias, and to have a computer that, you know, could compete against them in national television was just, you know, an amazing feat.
The thing with Watson is that being a computer, it can do a rapid search, you know, for information, but it doesn't reason, does it? And or is that going to be something that we're going to see developing with Watson?
Absolutely. So the computer does reason. So as it, you know, interprets the language, part of what it's doing is it's developing hypotheses. And it doesn't develop one hypothesis, it develops multiples of them, and then it goes out and in parallel does processing and execution against all these multiple hypotheses. And then it'll come back with all of the appropriate reasoning and help, you know, select which is the most appropriate, you know, result set for, you know, the question being asked. So, you know, part of what is different here is the ability to do that level of reasoning. So instead of just responding with, here's your most accurate, you know, answer, what it'll do is it'll give you all the reasoning behind why that is the most accurate response for your question. So it's really intriguing to see that. It was amazing to see, you know, the computer that was built in support of the, you know, the Jeopardy games. We had, you know, 2,280 CPU core, and it was a, you know, power system that we put in place. And, you know, I remember talking to young students, you know, in Mexico, and they were, you know, telling me, you know, gee, Romelia, what do you think it's going to take for corporations to get this kind of computer? You know, how is IBM going to be able to produce this computer, you know, fast enough? And part of what we talked about was, is it important to actually release this computer on site to every corporation, or to take the technology that's there and ingest it into existing products and make it available in the cloud. And that's exactly what IBM has done. So today, you'll find a lot of these Watson cognitive services that we make available in our platform that we call Bluemix. And so, you know, anyone can gain access to these services in the cloud. So we've taken that giant computer, broken it up into digestible chunks of, you know, programming interfaces, and people can go in and tap into the aspect of Watson that they're after, whether that be, you know, text-to-speech, whether that be image recognition, whether that be natural language processing and reasoning, whether that be, you know, other forms and flares of the cognitive aspects of Watson that we've made available in the cloud. So a lot of really cool applications are evolving that take advantage of the Watson technology today.
Well, does Watson have any peers? I mean, are there other organizations, other companies that are developing similar things, or is Watson pretty standalone and totally unique?
Certainly a lot of companies are coming up with their own cognitive technologies. I believe what makes Watson unique is the way we're making it available in the cloud and the kinds of applications that I've seen kind of, being developed by either, you know, enterprise clients, by cities, by students at Hack Day events. It's just been fun to watch all the various different ways in which we're exploiting the Watson technologies.
So are you going to be doing any demonstrations at MetroCon, actually showing some things that Watson can do, or is this mainly a lecture and a talk about Watson?
Well, certainly I'll do the lecture and the talk, but I always love, you know, being able to showcase some of the technology. So I'm hoping, you know, if Internet, you know, access, you know, enables us to be able to showcase a couple of the services. There's about, you know, 20 to 25 different services out there, so I'm not going to, you know, bore everyone with all of the services, but I picked a couple of my favorites to be able to showcase, you know, some of the imaging and some of the natural language type of services. And then the other thing that I'd love to be able to showcase a little bit of, not that I'm an expert in quantum computing, but I want to showcase what we're doing with IBM's quantum experience. And that's another flare of technology. You know, if you've been watching the computer world, this is the next wave of, you know, a paradigm shift for computing. It's the ability to, you know, process things in parallel in what we call qubits. And so, you know, one of the things that IBM has done is made this quantum computer available also in the cloud. And certainly, you know, there are other competitors out there and other ways that are evolving to gain access to quantum computers, but IBM makes this kind of technology available in the cloud. You can gain access to 5 qubits, and I'm hoping to be able to show a little bit of that as well.
For those of us who are scratching our heads, can you give us kind of an idea about what quantum computing is, the basics of it, say at a layperson's level, so that we understand?
Sure. So, you know, if you think about, you know, computers that we know and love today, they're all about, you know, bits, right? Zeros and ones. You're either, you know, in a bit in a computer is either represented as a, you know, it's on with a one state or it's off with a zero state. What the quantum computers do is it enables you to have qubits or quantum bits that are in place in a computer, and these quantum bits can be in not only a zero or a one state, but in both states simultaneously. And these computers are really, really amazing. To say we can simplify what a quantum computer is, you know, would be, you know, a faux pas on our part, because it is complex research. You know, physicists really deal with these kinds of computers, but it is, you know, the way of the future. So examples of things that we'll see coming out that, you know, will evolve with quantum computer technology are things like, you know, cryptography, being able to, you know, have, you know, really, you know, sophisticated, you know, ways of securing. You know, you were talking earlier about how do we secure internet, how do we secure data, and, you know, these quantum computers are going to provide the ability to secure more and more information and really rely on the cloud in a more secure fashion. The other areas where I see quantum computing playing is, you know, a lot of calculations. So think of, you know, these quantum computers are going to excel at being able to do computations at such a high capacity that, you know, what would normally take us 2-3 days to compute can be done, you know, within minutes with a quantum computer. And so you're looking at, you know, calculations in the areas of medicine, material science, maybe even into machine learning and how we're searching for all of the data that is continuously being thrown out in the cloud.
Well, a few years ago, there were so many problems with the Internet that a lot of very important people were calling for scrapping the Internet altogether and totally rebuilding it in a way that it would be secure. But this sounds like as if you're addressing the security problem and the Internet can stay the way that it is because you're building in all these safeguards. Is that a feeling that you have as being true?
Certainly, you know, everything evolves underneath us, right? If I look back on my career at IBM, you know, things always change. The Internet will change. It has changed over the years. I can remember, you know, in the late 90s, early, you know, 2000 when the Internet came out, you know, teaching people about HTML coding, right? And, you know, you'd have to write this kind of a scripting language in order to get an app running on the Internet. Nowadays, there's, you know, sophisticated tools that are in place that help you, you know, build your own Internet applications with the click of a button, right? So everything will continuously evolve. The concept, though, is fundamentally, you know, the Internet is there, and we'll continue to evolve it. We'll continue to enhance what we're able to gain access to, whether that be applications or data. And certainly these quantum computers are going to continue to secure that environment as well as provide high-powered processing that we'll make available in the cloud as well.
So you see the Internet staying in place, but being improved, constantly being improved, and new safeguards being put in all the time, but not scrapping it and rebuilding it.
Correct, okay. Yeah.
All right. Do you have any surprises for us? Is there going to be something new that you're going to bring to MetroCon and going to announce that's outstanding, that as far as, you know, making news?
So I think, you know, certainly we didn't release our quantum experience till the May of 2016, so that's fairly new here. And part of what I hope to show is be able to show some of the gates that we put in place and make it available to everyone that's at the conference. Anyone can get access to certainly our cognitive computing, as well as, you know, if you're into research, you'll be able to play around with some of our quantum computer. I don't know about other folks. I guess I'm kind of a geek. And so I tend to love being able to get my hands-on tools like this so that I can start learning a little bit more. And certainly, quantum computing, cognitive computing will continue to evolve as well as the Internet. And just being able to, you know, experience it firsthand and being able to put together my own applications for cognitive and being able to learn about where quantum computing is headed is part of what I'm hoping to deliver at the IEEE MetroCon presentation that I give.
Okay, well, what have we not covered? What have I neglected to ask you?
I guess the one thing that, you know, that I'll mention is, you know, a lot of people always ask me, is this really a lot of fun? One of the keys that I found to, you know, success in a career is, you know, being able to not only, you know, communicate and collaborate and, you know, provide community give back and have challenges and be competent, but, you know, the biggest thing that you need to have is the ability to chuckle, to just have fun. You know, with what it is that you love in your life. I enjoy puzzles. I enjoy learning and reading and, you know, working toward things. And that's part of what makes me. So I would say, you know, chuckle is the big key for me is, you know, just have fun at whatever you're doing. And that's a message I constantly give to others here at IBM and outside of IBM to enjoy, you know, life and enjoy, you know, technology as it continues to enlighten our lives.
Okay. Is there one concise takeaway that you're going to want your audience to leave with when they leave, or just an overall impression of all the great things that Watson is doing and the cloud and that sort of thing?
I'd say the overall message is, you know, certainly IBM has done a wonderful job with our technologies. have that enjoyment for life and learn any technologies. Technology is the future. You know, being in science, technology, engineering, and math nowadays is kind of a requirement. You know, I don't see any aspect of our day-to-day lives where people aren't touching technology. So thrive in it, learn in it, and have fun as you're doing it.
Well, give us a peek down the road, maybe 5, 10, 15, or even 20 years or longer, whatever. What do you see as the future? Where is it all going? I mean, you've had a long, distinguished career, and you're right in the middle of all the great things that are going on. Where are we going with the future? What can we look forward to?
I'd say we can certainly look forward to more progress, you know, on our internet technology. We can look forward to this quantum computing being a little bit more simplistic for some of us that are not researchers to be able to, you know, understand it and utilize it in our day-to-day, you know, applications and systems we're delivering. I see really cool, you know, robots evolving, drones that are already starting out, as well as smart cars and connected cars and, you know, this Internet of Things and all of the devices that we have all around us and making sense of all of this data intelligently. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people will always ask me, you know, what's in it for us, you know, 5 years from now? And I just say the ability to dream and come up with ideas that we never thought could have existed and make them become a reality for all of us.
Wow, that's a very, very bright look at the future, Romelia, and we certainly do appreciate it. I guess finally, maybe before we get out of here, if we've covered everything that you wanted to cover, maybe some words to live by. Have you you've mentored people, and people have mentored you, and you've given us a little taste of it. Say having fun. And that's what we should do, and should have positive attitudes and things. And you seem to have a very positive attitude. How about a word of wisdom, a succinct word of wisdom? Do you have that for us?
I would say take time for yourself. I'd say one of the things I probably didn't do effectively early on in my career was focus on me. You get busy with work and with your family, and you know, taking care of kids, and you know, you can get consumed by all of that. What I've learned in the latter part of my career is to take a step back and try and practice a little bit of mindfulness. I do a lot of yoga, so you'll find me at yoga studios on Mondays, Wednesdays, Saturdays, you know, bright and early in the morning before I head to work. And a lot of that is to force me to slow down, to force me to take a look back and say, okay, what am I doing today? And be very mindful to, you know, breathe deeply and enjoy the moment that I'm in right now.
Okay, Romelia Flores, one of IBM's top 500 technical executives, earning the title of IBM Distinguished Engineer and IBM Master Inventor, going to be presenting at the Metricon Conference October 26th in Arlington, Texas, at the Arlington Convention Center, produced by IEEE. If you want to know more about that conference, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. Romelia, it's been so wonderful having you. Thank you so much for taking the time of your busy day to be with us today.
Oh, thank you, Colonel Mason. I'm looking forward to the conference and looking forward certainly to where technology is headed in the future. Colonel, I'd love to be able to meet you face-to-face, and certainly I heard several of the, you know, the recordings in your program, and it's just an amazing program you have going on.
Well, what a nice thing for you to say. Thank you so much. That was very generous of you. Very generous of you to give you your time. And we certainly are so grateful that you're going to be at Metricon. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And you're going to want to stick around for the next half hour, because we have Diane Sawyer. She's the chairman, again this year, of the Metricon Conference, and she's going to give us an update and tell about a few surprises we're going to be able to hear about at the conference. And, of course, in just a minute here, we're gonna step in and visit our den of strangers, visit somebody a lot of us never heard of, and in the second half hour, the fountain of useless information we keep here on the set, and then at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. So we'll be right back after this. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're gonna pause at the door of the den of strangers. where we keep locked away all the wisdom of mankind. Whom, in the den of strangers, will we meet today?
Alice Walker. Activism is the rent I pay for living on the planet.